Bruno Iannucci on 1FM. Sex with transistors.
Bishop, the press have accused you of fudging on clergy who are practicing homosexuals. Did you fudge?
We certainly didn't fudge.
Armando Iannucci on 1FM. Rock and roll with a French kiss.
I am incensed. Incensed.
It's 12 at midnight, don't close your eyes. You're so ready for life, and I'll be by your side. I've come to take you there, show you how to care. Be aware that you'll have to share. I want you love, I want you light. I'm taking your heart, so don't you fight. I'll be your answer, I'll be your wish, I'll be your fantasy.
Yeah, we start off tonight with Crystal Waters, 100% Pure Love. And we're all going clubbing tonight.
Yeah!
We can do what we want.
Yeah!
As long as we switch everything off by 10.
Yeah!
Also, we're going to be talking about mountaineers.
Yeah!
The facts of life.
Yeah!
And European voting restrictions. Also, a new item this week, the People's News. News is written by various members of the public, starting with the news written by a seven-month-old baby.
Labour leader John Smith has defended his party's links with the unions. He spoke in a big hall with lots of shining lights that were really interesting to look at. To cheers from the floor that made a very loud noise, which made me cry, he said Labour was now the natural party of government. He looks like a big fat man.
And the telephone number is 071-306-0222. 071-306-0222. Tonight, we're going to be answering your homework questions. If you've got any homework questions needing answering, just ring in and we'll answer them. And it's the last show tonight. So we've all been allowed to bring in games. We're going to be playing ridiculous games all evening. Ring in if you want to take part. We're going to play shout wrestling. So if you're a good shouter and want to pick your mouth switched against another shouter down the phone, then ring up. The number is 071-306-0222. Okay, and first game tonight, though, is the 4x100-mile telephone relay. We've lined up three contestants, all in the south. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, let's go through you one at a time.
Ruth, Oxford.
Hi.
I've got my urine sump.
Who else is there?
I'm Frank from London.
Okay.
I'm in my bulging lycra shorts.
Thanks.
And Peter from London.
Excellent. Okay, you're standing by?
Yep.
Let me just explain the rules. When I give the word go, each one of you has to phone someone up who lives more north than you and pass on the word baton. That person then has to pass the word baton by phone to someone further north and so on for at least three stages until eventually the word is received by someone in Scotland who rings in to tell us it's arrived. Now, if you ring up and get an answer phone, then I'm afraid you must leave baton on the machine and wait until that person comes in to collect the messages, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you all set?
Yeah.
All right, stand by then for the very, very first live 4x100-mile telephone relay. 3, 2, 1, go!
Yeah.
Armando Iannucci on 1FM. A blue whale among cuttlefish.
Okay, and let's say hello to this week's posse.
Yay!
And to avoid confusion, they all have a way of identifying themselves this week. So, posse member number one, introduce yourself.
I'm Rebecca Front, and here is my musical theme.
Okay, so listen out for that anytime you hear that. That's Rebecca.
Dave Schneider on viola, and here's the theme from the new Avengers. That's me.
Good one. Listen out for that one.
I'm Rich Tang. This is my theme.
Cheeky.
I'm Peter Bainham, and this is my number.
Oh, that's good. What's that? What's that?
That's Black Knight by Deep Purple.
Okay, you'll be playing that whenever you want
yes.
to speak this out.
Yeah. I'm Stuart Lean, this is mine.
That's very up, isn't
it? Minimal, that one.
Okay, and I'm Amanda Nucci, and this is my theme. Okay, and I'll be playing that whenever I want to speak. This week, we're also going to be looking at careers, giving out careers advice. Every week from now on, for the next 50 weeks, we'll be looking at a different aspect of the professions. And this week, we're looking at livestock haulage contracting. And we have in our Edinburgh studio, Andrew Johnson from the National Livestock Haulage Contracting Organisation. Andrew, are you there?
I am. Good evening, Armando.
Good evening. You're going to be taking calls, aren't you, on any aspects of livestock haulage contracting?
Anything you're interested in, chickens, pigs, goats, you just phone in with your questions.
Okay, the number to ring, 071-306-0222, if you have any questions for Andrew Johnson from the Livestock Haulage Contracting League, 071-306-0222. I've got a few minutes. Andrew, how exactly did you start in Livestock Haulage Contracting?
It was really at school. There used to be a company, J.G. Wilkes, you may have heard of them, who were chicken transporters, were next to our school. Yeah. I used to watch them out of the window, and I remember once a school child sitting next to me made the joke, why did the chicken cross the road? And I suddenly stood up and said in a loud voice, and what did it cost?
I see.
And I think it brought home to me.
That got you into the profession, did
Absolutely.
It? Absolutely. So you're really, livestock haulage contracting is really in your blood.
Very much so, yes.
Okay. Well, just stand by then for the calls.
Okay.
And we also, don't forget, want you to call in with your homework questions. We're all here ready to answer your homework questions. 071-306 0222. And also, to help us out throughout this evening's programme, we're going to have all the big issues we discuss concisely clarified in 30 seconds by 1FM's very own Emma Freud.
It's 2 minutes past 1 o'clock. You're listening to Emma Freud on Radio 1. And today, the big issue is euthanasia and a condom. This month, the author of Jurassic Park, Michael Crichton, today wrote to the Education Secretary, Bob Hoskins, who is in persistent vegetative state, saying torturers and fraudsters, gangsters and extortionists put teachers in an impossible situation. To discuss the issue, I'm joined by the handicapped, the terminally ill, and down the phone from Liverpool, Andy Norris. John, what is your reaction to the sexual harassment yesterday?
I was bitterly disappointed.
Amanda Iannucci on 1FM, the official anthem of the 1994 World Cup Finals.
Thanks, Emma. And don't forget, we're taking your homework questions tonight. Ring us with any homework, revision or essay problems. And we're also going to be doing listeners' wives. If you've got a wife and fancy a bit of fun, then put her on the phone so we can listen to her. 071-306-0222 for listeners' wives and your homework. Also on tonight, what the hell goes on in Brussels when politicians sit round a big table? By special request, more tramp music, and of course, Fight of My Life, the finest fight action in letter form. But first, the news from the week, and big foreign noises in Europe as Britain resists attempts by the European community to limit the age of each country's foreign secretary to 27. Douglas Hurd, who's 71, may have to be killed if the ruling goes through. It's now perfectly legal in most European countries to form a government when you're 16. And in America, Bill Clinton, forced to come clean over embezzlement allegations, has finally agreed to be internally examined by every member of the House of Representatives. The 100 peculiar American politicians have long argued that the only way for the president to prove his innocence is by allowing them to put their hands in him to see what's there. Education Secretary John Patton got in a sex fangle this week when, during parliamentary questions, his opposite number on Labour's front benches, Ann Taylor, stood up and asked him what an erection was. To backbench sniggering, a clearly shocked Mr. Patton responded by showing her a picture of a big house. More on that later, and throughout the programme, we've commissioned a series of nursery rhymes by 13-year-olds, allowing them to tell us about life as it's lived.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've lost my Sega Mega Drive. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I'll go and watch the telly then.
8:10. Don't forget, we're taking all your calls, all your questions on homework, anything you want to know about homework, revision or general essay questions at university. The number to ring, 071-306-0222. And we've got a question from Cathail Scullion from County Tyrone. Homework question. What is the evidence that the gift of the Holy Spirit encouraged the apostles, strengthened their faith, and made them witnesses to the good news?
Well, if you look at the way the early church developed, there was a huge impetus of energy that could only have been sustained by perhaps supernatural means, investing the survivors of the disciples with a sort of inspiration to go out and spread the news.
But a sort of metaphorical inspiration or a sort of a real positive inspiration?
Well, that's something for her to work out for herself, really.
I think actually that's a trick question. There is no evidence.
Okay, Cathy, so that's the point of taking. It's a matter of kind of personal faith and not one of a kind of objective reality.
And therefore not funny.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Rebecca. You didn't play your flute, so I'm not paying attention to that. On now to your livestock haulage contracting questions.
Oh, yeah.
Keep them coming in. 0713060222. Andrew, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, Andrew. You talked a bit about how you started in livestock haulage contracting.
Yeah.
Was it at school? Was there a livestock haulage contractor that you admired? Was there a sort of a hero that you kind of... wanted to follow on a dog?
Well, there was J.G. Wilkes, as I mentioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And in fact, interestingly, his wife actually taught at the school. She was called Mrs. Wilkes.
Right.
And she really encouraged me to sort of keep the faith alive. The careers teacher at school thought it was a ridiculous dead-end job.
Yeah.
But I remember Mrs. Wilkes saying to me, look, if your future, you know, is a van full of chickens, you've got to follow that future.
Right.
And she really believed in me.
Andrew, there's lots of people here standing by with their instruments all wanting to butt in with some questions.
I'm sure there are.
If someone could find it, Richard.
Andrew, I was wondering, where'd you get your ideas of what to haul?
Well, mainly from pictures of livestock. You can get very good satellite photographs, which just give you a European-wide picture of where the livestock is.
Yeah.
And you can get down to a very fine level of resolution. You can spot a chicken from 8 miles up. And I tend to use those.
A lot of your kind of work so far seems to be very kind of chicken-centric. I mean, what is the range of animal that you cover?
Well, chicken is probably the smallest, probably up to horses, I would say.
Okay. Quick one.
Andrew, what did your careers teacher think at school when he said you wanted to be a livestock haulage contractor? Yeah. Must have thought you were mad.
Well, I must admit, I did get some wry comments. But as I said, I kind of ignored the careers teacher. And as I say, went with Mrs. Wilkes, metaphorically, of course.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you, Andrew, but we've actually got a winner of the 3x100 miles baton. Hello.
Hello?
Who's that? Oh, it's you.
Is it?
Who's that?
Sharon.
Sharon. Who was it that called you?
I don't know. I don't have a clue. I'm at work and someone phoned up and says, phone this number and say baton.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. No idea who it is. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm live on the radio here.
You are live. Do you mind if we broadcast you now?
No.
Good. I don't know what we would have done if you said yes, but we've just got to establish, are you in Scotland?
Uh-huh.
Whereabouts are you?
Glasgow.
Excellent. My hometown. I don't know you, do I?
I don't know. What's your name? What is this?
My name... this is the John Dunn Show on Radio 2.
All right.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi. Have you ever been on Radio 2 before?
No, I listen to Radio 1.
All right, I don't like Radio 1. It's kind of...
It's getting better, I think.
Is it getting better?
Yeah.
Are you listening to it now? Are you listening to Radio 1 now?
I'm actually at work. I'm not listening to anything.
Well, get off the phone
up.
Then. What do you do?
I'm a student.
Oh, well, you'll have bags of time then.
Oh, no, I
haven't. Hey, Duffy student dig there. Okay, thanks very much. There'll be a huge prize of a mountain in the post for you straight away.
Right, okay.
Okay,
right,
thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Back to the news as sent in by you, the public, and here's the news as written by an old woman.
Tension mounts in South Africa as Inkatha still say no to elections. There's always trouble down there, isn't there? While here at home, interest rates fall by another 0.5%, though you should keep your money in cash. That way, you know where you are. I'm very cold.
This is a corner shop. Reader's Wife.
Oh,
Corner Shop is an anagram of Posh Corner.
Corner Shop recently featured on CFAX in the Suffolk area.
Corner Shop's lead guitarist, Roy Hudd, is the joker of the band.
Sajinder from Corner Shop was the worst student entertainment officer I, Stuart Lee, have ever come across in 4 years of doing student comedy gigs. And that's true.
Okay, got some homework in now. From Dawn, her Open University English. It's an advancement of learning, a poem. They want to know what the poem is about, by Seamus Heaney, it says here. It's not really about very much, but the word rat occurs twice, so I think it's about a rat. The metaphor for time and death check, I've just looked, the longest word is insidiously, so that must be around there that the metaphor for time and death occurs. And just looking at the end, is it hope or despair? Then I walked on and cross the bridge, it must be hope.
Okay, and we've got our listener's wife on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who are you?
Hi, I'm Claire.
Claire, and who are you married to?
Charlie. Bradford.
Charlie Bradford, okay. We're just going to sit here and listen to you.
Right.
Okay, it's just a bit of fun.
Right.
Just describe where you are.
I'm in the kitchen at the moment.
Okay, and what are you doing?
I'm just painting my kitchen cupboards.
All right.
What colour?
Well, I'm just undercoating them at the moment. Oh. I'm undercoating them white.
What colour are you going to put on over the undercoat?
Oh, well, I'm going to scumble them, actually. I'm going to scumble them and drag them yellow.
You couldn't, you couldn't scumble for us now, could you?
But it's a highly technical art, actually.
Please. Okay, well, thanks very much for being a bad sport, then. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Amanda Iannucci, do as he says, and there'll be no unpleasantness.
For today's big issue, we're running our own killer.
Thanks, Emma, and stay with us for the next bit because it's time to discuss sex education. There's currently a real pig's face of a debate going on about how much we should tell children about private parts. And last week, John Patton attacked a school for having...
wonderful head.
...and getting too explicit. Here's Emma with an update.
It's 1 minute past 1 o'clock and time for today's big issue. In Britain, we have the highest rate of people under the age of 16. In an attempt to lower these figures, the Department of Education have issued new guidelines for sex education teaching in schools, which includes a proposal that John Patton could be arrested for committing a criminal offence.
OK, thanks, Emma. I just want to establish what actually happened in this kind of controversial lesson during...
Some kids asked the nurse, like, what are blowjobs and what are Mars bar parties? And she answered the question, like... But as far as I understand, she answered it wrong. Like, the Mars bar party answer was all about melting down the chocolate from the inside of the Mars bar and then smearing it over your genitals and...
That's a fondue, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a fondue.
I think it's a waste of a Mars bar to melt it and put it on someone's genitals. They taste
well,
very
don't
nice
do it then.
Own. Genitals taste really horrible. And Mars bars taste really nice. And I know that putting Mars bars on genitals might be a way to make the genitals taste a bit nicer.
Did also, if genitals taste so bad, why are they the chosen flavouring for those scampi fries crisps?
I mean, what should we teach our children?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing at all about sex. Or about anything.
About anything. Well, all knowledge is dangerous,
well,
is that
so
it?
Well, so it would seem, yeah. I think it's best if they just left to find out about things for themselves.
So we should ban teachers from school?
Ban teachers, burn books, close down the schools. And,
kids will just roam the streets and go to newsagents and buy Mars bars and we'll be in big trouble.
Do you think that kids are too mature?
I mean,
all right, musical theme there from Stuart there.
I think they're immature children.
You're
right, they're too immature. They are. Yeah. They should grow up. Yeah. And then there wouldn't be any of the trouble.
We spend a lot of time watching children's television that we're meant to be working
and
it's just childish rubbish.
I was wondering about the whole thing of, like, you know, the myths, that all the stories that you tell children about the stork bringing
you know, the baby and all that sort of... You could put the fact into things like that, couldn't you?
So you
could
have, like... Kind of like the stork bringing a vibrator.
The stork brings the vibrator. Mm. Or, Mummy and Daddy love each other very much, and they wanted you to arrive, so Daddy gave me an orgasm, and we videoed it.
Hang on. Dave's got a point there.
Yeah, theme from New Avengers. It would be quite good if, like, you know, we told them sort of fairy tales that taught them proper things, like the sperm bee, for example, that how the sperm bee does actually take the sperm from the man to the woman.
That's does it fly around with it, kind of collected underneath its wings?
Well, it has special sacs underneath it, but it's attracted by the smell of sperm.
Well, who isn't?
And then
you'd be a bee to do that, don't you?
Sorry, yeah, Peter, you've got
Black
a point.
By Deep Purple, though.
Yeah.
Could you have the arse fairy as well? That the...
Oh, hold on, there's a bit of an argument brewing here.
What would that do then?
It's not, the arse fairy is not strictly necessary for reproductive sex, but it's something that's brought in by loving couples to sort of spice it up a bit.
Can I make a point? And really, the point is back to Andrew Johnson, our livestock haulage contractor. I mean, do you have anything to add to the debate?
Well, I do, actually, from a livestock haulage contracting point of view.
Very quickly.
We need to tell them the facts. My young son came back with playground facts the other day that a pig costs £50 per mile per gallon of petrol to transport, and that's the kind of rubbish they pick up.
In the playground?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to come back to you, Andrew, but thanks very much. Just now, we're actually going to throw our inhibitions to the wind and hear for some more facts on how to do things properly. Max Bygraves.
Accidents will happen, so the saying goes, but lots can be prevented, as any pitman knows, by being safety conscious every hour of every day. Common sense saves accidents, do it the safety way. Can be dangerous unless you treat it right. If you ignore safe practices, you could be in a sorry plight. Being careless in use or maintenance could bring hell to pay. Common sense saves accidents, do it the safety way. Your safety equipment is meant to see you through. Ignoring this protection is a stupid thing to do. We hope you'll never need it, but don't forget you may. Remember, common sense saves accidents. Do it the safety way. Think safe and you'll be safe. And that is why we say, common sense saves accidents, do it the safety way. Remember, common sense saves accidents, do it the safety way.
Hickory dickory dock, I've got the key to the lock. Mum's left me alone to look after the home while she works till 10 o'clock.
More nursery rhymes as written by 13-year-olds. 24 minutes past nine. Still looking for your calls, questions to our livestock haulage contractor. And actually, participants in the Shout Wrestling match. Phone in if you want to take part in the Shout Wrestling. And I think we've got someone with a homework question for us. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's that?
It's David Garrity.
Okay, what do you want to know?
Does Derby have the typical qualities of a central business district?
Yes.
Yes, it does. Thanks, David.
Oh, thanks.
Okay,
bye.
Keep the calls coming. Andrew, back up in Edinburgh.
Uh-huh.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you very much.
What are the perks of livestock contracting?
Well, particularly a holiday season, I have obviously a lovely lorry.
And now that the EC regulations of all the barriers have all come down, I can go anywhere in Europe with any livestock. I mean, that's excellent. Freedom.
Oh, I think... Peter's got a question.
Yeah, I've got a question for you, Andrew. Basically, it's I'm fascinated when I go in pet shops, and I'm wondering about the processes of transporting the mice to pet shops. Are they transported all around the country by one sort of huge lorry?
No, it's on a regional basis with relatively small vans.
Hello?
So what? Have we lost him?
No, I'm still here. Answered the question. It's relatively small vans. I don't know if
Peter wants to
know anything else.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I have to confess, I just wasn't listening there.
Right. Well,
we were so bored, really, to be honest.
Well, it was
okay.
Awesome.
Well, I think we're just going to have to leave it there for the mispronunciation charts. Okay, and it's time for this week's mispronunciation charts. The mispronunciation charts, the highest new entry in at 10, I'll remember, from Madonna. Down 7 at 9, Stay Together from Sue Eddy. Up 4 at 8, Shapes That Go Together from Norwegian band Ahey. There's no change at 7, I Believe from Mark Ella Detroit. And straight in at 6 is K7 and the Swing Kids with Hide Ho. There's a new entry at 5, You Know How We Do It from American rapper Ikki Kubi. Down 2 at 4, Renaissance from Monsieur People. Down 1 at 3, Things Can Only Get Better by Dr. Eam. In at 2, Streets of San Francisco from Bruce Seth Springsteen, which means that number 1 for the 7th week is D-Oak from Duop. Okay, Andrew, we have a question, actually, from Carter Johnson in Leicester. Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Right, when chauffeuring sheep, how loud should one have their stereo on?
7 is generally best, I think, with sheep.
Excellent, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Does anyone else have a question?
Yeah, I was at a dinner party the other day with a livestock haulage contractor, and people kept making him do some of his contracting. Does that ever annoy you, if your time off, that people keep asking you to do bits of it?
No, not at all. I mean, haulage is my hobby as well as my job. It's my chief joy.
Right.
Oh, that's quite inspiring, actually.
Yeah, it's lovely.
We've got to move on, actually, to the next guest, someone who I omitted to mention at the start of the show, but we actually have Steven Spielberg in with us.
Yay!
Thanks very much for coming on the programme.
Pleasure.
It has been said that since making Schindler's List, you've changed considerably. Is that true?
In some ways, but more the making of Jurassic Park had a major influence on me.
In what way, then?
Oh, I just think it's changed the whole perspective of my life. You know, I now see where I have to go and what direction I have to go.
What is it about Jurassic Park?
I think it's very important that dinosaurs should be brought back into the public life, you know, taught in schools and not allowed to be forgotten from history lessons.
I see. Well, we've got the particular privilege of having our resident critic Gerard Lee with us also this evening. And he's going to be conducting this evening's guest interview.
Yeah, it's a marvellous Oscar ceremony. There were some bad mistakes. Ridiculous. Holly Hunter, best actress, terrible. She forgot all her words in that film. It was terrible. But good to see Tom Hanks return to comedy in Philadelphia was rewarded after that terrible letdown over Bachelor Party didn't get nominated. But
questions for Stephen?
Yes, it was good to see Stephen that you at last got the Oscar you so richly deserve. But
Thank you.
I was disappointed it was for Schindler's List, which is frankly your worst work, I think. You know, I thought maybe Hook would deserved it last year, or 1941, my particular favourite.
Well, it's interesting you should say that. I mean, I was proud of 1941 myself.
Oh, yes.
And in fact, I am due to make a sequel, 1941 2, sometime next year. But personally, I was a little disappointed that I didn't win the Oscar for Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
The great thing about Schindler's List, though, was that you brought the Nazis back. I mean, you used them to great effect in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yes. Well, it was the sequel.
All right, yeah,
The other good thing is you bring out so many great performances from your actors, don't you? I think in Jurassic Park, Richard Attenborough.
Indeed,
yes.
Yes,
very good. But,
wasn't he good?
Although he was just doing his own voice, his own Scottish voice.
Well, no, that's where you're wrong. He's English.
No.
He is, in fact, English.
I don't believe it.
I know,
it was
incredible.
Brilliant. Scottish, oh, my goodness. That was the best accent since the... Oh, go on.
Can I just start? Yeah, sure. I just wondered, why was there a mistake with Schindler's List, and I'm sorry to keep coming back to that unimportant film, but that it was in black and white. Was there a problem at the developers?
It was a budgetary decision.
Right.
Was it very frightening, working with all those dinosaurs close up?
It certainly was. They were really terrifying because, of course, you know, they're a little tetchy. They've been around for all that time, and nobody's been really paying them a lot of attention. But we won them over, and it was fine having Richard Attenborough on the film because, of course, he's used to making those nature movies, and
his
he's
brother,
very used to...
David Attenborough.
I beg your pardon. But anyway, he's used to animals, and he knows how to deal with them close, too, one-on-one.
Okay, well, Stephen, thanks very much for coming in. That's all the time we've got time for. I, myself, disappointed in Schindler's List. I much preferred Hook, and my kids enjoyed that much more. But I'm afraid we've got a break now for the news. This is, you're listening to Amanda Nucci, Radio 1, 24 hours a day, and the news now with Sarah Locke.
But what does all this mean for you, the tennis string expert? Together with you, we're going to make PS Hyosheet Power String a byword throughout Europe. After all, it's not every day you can offer people a revolution. Together, we're going to give all those hundreds of thousands of mid-size and oversized tennis players the very best string for their rackets. PS Hyosheet Power String. Together, we're going to give them the clearest and most effective information about strings they could wish for. In a nutshell, we're going to set the strings of Europe humming. And this is our strategy.
Amanda Iannucci on 1FM, Pearl Harbor to Simon Mayo's Japanese Invasion.
Get your tractors off our lawn.
This is Get the Message from Electronic.
Electronic are named in honour of the popular electromagnetic force, electricity.
I always thought of you as my brick wall, built like an angel, 6 feet tall.
Wonderful, Ed.
I am incensed. I don't know where to begin. Living in sin. How can you talk? Look where you've been. I counted the nights. Living in sin. How can you talk? Look where you've been. Take my independent point of view. I listen.
Together with you, we're going to make PS Hyosheet Power String a byword throughout Europe.
This song is exactly the same as Bill Withers' Lovely Day.
Electronics' Bernard Sumner and Johnny Marr met while they were both caught in a trap.
Johnny Marr is a woodwork fanatic. He recently made himself a beautiful wife called Janie.
am incensed. Incensed.
Bernard Sumner once left his five gloves in a hotel bar.
Lovely day, lovely day, lovely day, it's lovely day, lovely day, lovely day, lovely day, it's a lovely day.
O'clock and time for today's big issue. Last year, Penny Venters, the marketing manager of Durex, the third biggest women alone, has increased by 19%.
And thanks, Emma. Still taking your homework calls. We're now opening the whole thing up to anything. What do you want to know about anything? Just ring us up, 071 306 0222. We're playing games all evening. We've had the telephone relay. I think we've got two people for the shout wrestling. Hello, are you there?
Hello?
Hi, who's that?
Adam from Plumstead.
Adam from Plumstead, and have you got an opponent there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, who are you?
It's Richard from Bracknell.
Richard from Bracknell, so you're not in the same room?
No.
Okay, well, here are the rules. When I give you the word, I want you to shout at each other as loud as you can and for as long as you can until I say stop, and we'll judge which one is the best, all right? And we've got Philip Dawson's in here to adjudicate. Hello, Philip.
Hello there.
Okay,
hello.
So Richard v. Adam, get ready, get your tonsils ready. 3, 2, 1, go! Richard's got the edge. Definitely. Adam's making a comeback. Okay, stop. Stop. Stop.
You can't part them. 3, 2, 1, stop.
Stop. Okay, Philip, which one's best?
Well, it was very tight there, but it was Adam.
Adam. Oh. Adam, you've won.
Oh. Yeah?
Yeah. Do you know what you've won?
No.
Oh. Oh, dear. All right, sorry then. Well, you'll pick something up soon then. We'll send you something. Thanks very much for coming on. Bye. Oh, they've gone. Okay, time to go over to the EC, the heated European Community negotiations in Brussels, and to take a closer look at what exactly goes on behind the big doors that they have there. We join our microphones live as the 12 countries debate Finland's application for membership.
Yep. Regarding the application of Finland to be the next country to join us.
Hello.
Hello there. We have a concern that Finnish people are very boring idiots.
I understand the point you have made here, but I would counter that, and my evidence for this is is a very important film was made in Finland some 7 years ago, the film Pathfinder, which is the only film ever to be made in the Lapland language.
If we could just look at the subsection here, music. For all of us here, we have even Belgium, Plastic Bertrand, Roxette from Sweden. Very good. Yes. Norway with and of course Britain with the Flying Pickets. Who is Finland music?
The Finnish guitar and stick musician Ian Norman. Well, strictly speaking, he is not Finnish, but he has visited on one occasion. He was there for some for a day.
If I may just come in there, the thing about your application is that you are a stinking liar.
For many years, the Finnish people's only method of survival has been to lie and use ingenuity and deception.
I see. No,
I was hoping you would admire this quality in us of cunning. Similarly, in Finland, we have a history of extreme bravery under difficult, stressful situations, like some snow has fallen, and no one is afraid of it.
The specific allegation is that you are a stinking liar.
Take on board here that we do work with fish a lot of the time, and the stink wears off on you.
Mr. Chairman, while we're on the subject of fish, may I just ask our representative of Finland, is there one single recipe from Finland that we in Italy would not be ashamed to cook?
Raw fish. Or the fish cut into strips, or a fish finger, as we call it, which is also eaten raw, but is in a strip form. Admittedly, most of the fish we eat in Finland is imported from the UK, the Finnish people too lazy, and they stink of their own bodies, prevents them from rising in the morning to work. And also the large amount of pornography that the country has means people just stay inside, you know, with making their own amusement. Hopefully we could come to some sort of trade arrangement with the Dutch of read the pornography. That would be two mags for £10 or three for 20.
I have a question. If you look at Finnish people from with light behind them, you cannot see their eyebrows.
We have discussed this back at home in Finland, and what we've agreed to do is to always approach other EC members from a certain angle, so that the light is shining onto our faces, and you can see that we do have some facial hair.
I think that's very acceptable. I mean, given the fact that we have an Italian woman here, and
I think we have adequate hair for the whole community.
That's Medley from the EC, and now some news about next week on Radio 1.
Lord Justice Taylor is in courtroom 1 of the Old Bailey on Monday, Bristol County Court Tuesday to Friday, and live and exclusive to 1FM Sheffield Municipal Courtrooms this Saturday evening. Keep it on 1FM, the official station for coverage of Lord Justice Taylor.
97 to 99, BBC Radio 1FM. And it's 18 to 10. We've got Andrew Johnson, our livestock haulage contractor, in. We're asking for your questions. And I think we've got a question for you, Andrew.
Very good.
On the phone. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hi. Is that David?
Yeah.
And do you want to give your question to Andrew, please?
Yeah, hello, Andrew.
Hello.
I'd like to know if a small skip is appropriate method of transport for pigs and hens and the like.
A skip?
Yeah, quite a small skip.
A small skip. What's it contained before?
Well, it's moist things.
You see, moistness can be a problem with the new Belgian EC regulations. I would advise you to dry your skip thoroughly before use.
With a towel?
With a towel or a small piece of flannel.
All right, thank you very much.
Could you put something big and absorbent in the skip to kind of quickly dry it?
Well, name me a good piece of absorbent livestock and I'll haul it.
A huge sheep?
Well, if it hadn't been sheared recently, there could be a degree of absorbency. But okay. I don't know if you've ever tried to absorb large quantities of liquid with a sheep. I certainly have, and it's not easy.
All right, sorry, I was trying to catch you out there, Andrew, but obviously haven't. Just hang with us there. I think we've also got a homework question from someone.
Hello?
Hello? Who's that?
Hello, it's Gareth from Edinburgh.
Hi, you've got a homework question?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, what are the advantages and disadvantages of monoclonal and polyclonal antibodies?
All right. Right, one that verges on livestock contractors' territory. Peter?
Basically, the first ones last longer and, right. and easier to store in a wardrobe.
Okay, have you got that?
Yeah, thank you.
Cheers, then. Thanks a lot. Okay, on now to mountaineering. And this week, some men with beards were discovered in the jungles of Malaysia. And we all were glued to the story of the kind of the discovery of the stupid men who went wandering for 20 days and 20 nights into a tunnel. any views?
You just wonder why they did it when they could just get a helicopter to the top or one of those funiculars, like railway things. Or to the bottom, they were going to the bottom.
They talked about, they said they kind of lived off peppermints and biscuits and so on, which originally you'd have thought that's a bit kind of weird.
Silly, how are they going to do that?
But I actually read that that place where they kind of ended up was the only place in the world where peppermints grow wild.
And they actually ate worms as well, but they weren't worms that they found, they were actually pre-packaged worms that they took with them.
Oh, Findus worms.
Yeah.
All right.
It's amazing, though, because they go into these places like called Death Valley and Don't Come Down Here Gulch and all this sort of thing. Yes. I believe the place that actually got lost was Don't Come Down Here or You'll Be Stuck for 32 Days. You might get found at the end if you put SOS in black rocks on some white rock valley.
Crevice.
Yeah,
all right,
I think so.
Andrew. Oh, hello. Musical theme then.
I don't understand mountaineers generally. I mean, like, why do they make things so difficult with themselves? Like, you've got mountaineers trying to get up Everest without oxygen. Yeah. What is the point of that when there is oxygen available? You know, why make it hard? It's like trying to go shopping without bags or like having a bath and then trying to dry yourself with no towel. Just
but that's what they do. That's what they do. It's a challenge.
Because it's there.
It's there.
Yeah.
Actually, Peter, you don't play your guitar, but you've kept strangely quiet on this one, which is a surprise, actually, because you are
intimately
involved. You are
a mountaineer.
Tell us a bit more.
Well, I'm a mountaineer with a difference. I'm a modern mountaineer, especially given what's happened to these guys.
Yeah.
I work from home.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
How
you know, this sort
work?
Of... teleworking where people have been given a computer terminal.
Yeah.
I have a computer terminal at home.
Yeah.
And what I do is my day is I get up at about 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I put on all the gear. I put on the backpack, all the crampons and everything.
Yeah.
I go downstairs and I sit at the computer terminal and I mountaineer for about 8 hours.
Right. Onto the terminal.
Yeah. It's very, very comfortable.
How do you kind of introduce an element of, kind of danger and uncertainty into that?
Well,
sort of
the company that employs me has, provided me with a small well.
Yeah.
Which is just about take my body size, is 70 feet deep.
Right.
And if I make a mistake whilst I'm mountaineering on the computer, then I'm actually duty bound to then go and plunge headfirst down the well onto a rock.
Okay. Oh, hang on. Special theme there from Rebecca.
Yeah.
Question.
I mean, don't you get a bit lonely? Because obviously you miss out on the sort of comradeship of other mountaineers.
Camaraderie. Well, yeah, having said but my family are there. My kids are there, my wife's there, my wife will come across with supplies.
But how about, like, I mean, people kind of go mountaineering in groups of seven and things.
Oh, yeah, well, we do that. I mean, that still happens. You still have to retain, for safety reasons, you have to be connected by rope. So you have seven people around the country all connected by rope, which we are connected by rope.
How is that done?
It goes down the telephone line.
The rope goes down the telephone line?
Physically goes down the telephone line and connects us all together.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks very much for showing us that side of the mountaineering. It's 13 minutes to 10. Time for Mary with the context of fear.
Thanks, Armando. And total fear, I'm afraid, is still in operation in Norfolk. That's mainly due to people worrying about fire. Meanwhile, in Leicester, there's considerable apprehension about the speed of changing fashion. Up in Newcastle, there should be some disquiet all afternoon because of residents' fears about an escaped nun. And there's quite a large level of fear in the south due to a row of serial killers being installed all along the A40. And that's the context of fear for today.
And I think we've got another question for Andrew, our livestock haulage contractor. Hello, who's there?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well. Who's your name?
Justin.
Okay. And who's your question?
Right, I'm transporting 70,000 bulls from Spain in the back of my car.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, hi there.
Hi.
Should I wear a red T-shirt or not? Because, you know, they're pretty dangerous, aren't they, the bulls with red T-shirts?
I wouldn't recommend a register. How big is your car, by the way?
It's okay. It's got electric windows anyway, so...
Oh, well, you should be fine, then.
Oh, it's okay. All right.
Yes. Sit as far in front of them as you can.
Yeah, well it's okay, yeah.
And if you wear those sort of string-backed gloves?
Oh, no problem at all. I always wear those kind of things. Plus, I've got a lot of boots as well, so...
Yes. Okay. You have one of those little few orange things. They tend to like those. They dangle from your mirror.
Yeah. Dire Straits okay on the cassette?
It's music's an irrelevance with bulls.
Oh, right, okay.
Thanks very much for your question.
Amanda Iannucci on 1FM. Wicked, but not wicked enough to merit criminal investigation.
Okay, it's time now for Fight of My Life. Some of the best fights sent in letter form from you, my listeners. Dear Armando, I feel I must write to you about a fight that took place in the surgical unit of St. Thomas's Hospital, Sheffield. My 74-year-old father had been booked in to have some phlegm removed, and as we entered the hospital, I was pleasantly surprised by the warmth of our reception. A young nurse stepped forward to greet my father with a kiss on the lips, while another presented me with a live cockatoo. Most unusually, the chief registrar, who is normally a deaf mute, simply stood there shouting, thank you for coming, thank you. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, in readiness for the operation, my father was taken off to be scrubbed and foiled. 2 hours elapsed as I waited patiently outside the theatre. In all that time, nobody came out, but I noticed that gradually more and more people arrived and went inside. That afternoon, I counted a total of 89 health officials enter the theatre. Throughout that time, I could hear muffled cries and tearing of skin, and what I could only imagine was the sound of my father having his head repeatedly banged against a very hard monitor and then smashed into a tray of anaesthetics. At that point, a nurse came out with an exhausted but satisfied look in her face, and noticing my worry, came over and said, I have some bad news about your father. I'm afraid Dr. Gillicuddy has asked him for a fight. Immediately, I jumped up and rushed into the operating theatre. only to be confronted by the most terrible sight ever to concuss the retina of a man's eye. A pack of 120 doctors were grouped in a circle, shouting like drunken antelopes and throwing money into a ring, while a choir of schoolchildren stood in a corner singing songs of incitement. And there in the centre was Dr. Gillicuddy, wrestling on the ground with an old man. My father was no match for Dr. Gillicuddy. His crinkled body was severely hampered by 17 large drips still connected to his mouth. But taking this into account, I was still impressed by Dr. Gillicuddy's technique. He grappled well and had at his command a fine series of holds and stuns, which managed to dupe his foe into making some stupid positional errors, for which he was rightly punched. The elder fighter disappointed with his breathlessness, and it was a joy to watch the young pretender mop the floor up with his face. At the end of the match, as my father was dragged off looking like some ancient swab, I congratulated Dr. Gillicuddy on his fine attack and collected my winnings from a small bet I had made 5 minutes previously. I've not seen Dr. Gillicuddy since then, but I'm writing to thank him for his efforts, for the enjoyment he provided on that day, and for his supple demonstration of the power of youth, a fact that my father to this day does not understand. Yours, Audrey Simpson, Bristol.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. Baby, I don't wanna hurt nobody, but there is you want.
Oh, stop it.
I know just what you need, girl.
Baby, bring your body.
Hey, hey, baby.
Oh.
I'm not fooling around with you. Baby, my love is true with you.
You is where,
is where
I wanna be.
I wanna be. Girl, you need someone.
We've got another homework question. Hello, who's that?
It's Richard from London.
Richard, what's your question?
Is Lord of the Flies optimistic or pessimistic in its moral implications?
Richard's got an answer.
I had the answer to that, but the dog ate it.
Oh.
Sorry.
It's pessimistic.
It's pessimistic.
Yep.
Well, what do you think, mate? You're the bloke studying it, aren't you?
Yeah, I know, but I need your help.
You ever killed a fat bloke?
I think that answers your question. Thanks a lot. Bye. Okay, time now for more public news. And once again, it's news as written by a nine-month-old baby.
John Major will not give way to European Community pressure on voting arrangements. I want some milk. He says Britain's position remains firm and is prepared to stake his leadership on it. I've done a smell in my nappy.
That's the news, and just time to kind of wind everything else up. Thanks for everyone, and thanks very much for Emma Freud for providing us with all her information. Thanks, Emma.
ZZ Top and Pincushion. It's 3 minutes past one. You're listening to the Lunchtime Programme on Radio 1, and this is Offensive.
Yes, it was. And also, we're just going to play out, really, with yet another of our marvellous mega mixes. This is the club remix of Mariah Carey's number one hit, Without You. That's about all for us. Thanks very much to Richard Herring, Stuart Lee, David Schneider, Rebecca Front and Pete Bainham. Thanks very much to Ben Moore for sitting in the corner. Thanks to Miriam Jones for all her help. To producer Sarah Smith. In 2 weeks' time... 2 weeks' time, April 11th, is a special compilation programme of the last 4 weeks. That's pathetic, isn't it? Special compilation going out at this time in 2 weeks' time. That's the 11th of April. Also on the 11th of April, if you're bored with that, you can go to Crackers Comedy Club, which opens in Pollock Shields, Glasgow on the 11th of April. Keep comedy live. And finally, we end with a special idea from Rachel. Thanks for the idea for this one, which is news as written by a dog.
Virgin boss Richard Branson launches another attack on British Airways. The 42-year-old entrepreneur has an interesting smell. At a press conference this morning, he criticised their pricing policy, and a man dropped some chips outside, which I ate quickly.
Thanks. Okay, we're going to add to the remix with some of our instruments here. Off you go. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
That's the most fun I've ever had. Mark Radcliffe's next. It's 10 o'clock.